Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to study the life of Joseph, and I pray that you would just use what you've recorded in a mighty way in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm jumping right in. Joseph Serves God in Prison is the title of this. We're starting with the last, I think it's three verses of chapter 39. Last week, he got in trouble with Potiphar's wife, not because Joseph did anything, but because he didn't do something. And so Potiphar's wife accused him. Joseph gets thrown in prison. So that's where we're picking up here, okay? Number one, it's actually the last point of last week here. But God continued to be with Joseph. God showed him mercy, the Bible says, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I don't think that that's just God. I'm not diminishing God at all. But Joseph was walking with God. He wasn't rebelling against God. He wasn't gritting his teeth and shaking his fists at God. He was taking whatever God gave him as from God and doing the best he could with the situation he was in. Okay? So that's number one. That's where we left him last week. Now, this is what we didn't look at last week. Number two, God, I call it, he promoted and blessed Joseph in, and by the way, it's in prison. Again, this should reset our thinking. Because we look at our circumstances and we say, I don't like where I'm at, I don't like what I'm in. And my only goal is get me out of here. That's what the content of my prayer is. That's the that's the pursuit of my life. And instead, we lose the point of what Joseph did there. And he served God where God put him. And listen, God was with him in prison. And he blessed him in prison. And he promoted him in prison. Did Joseph want to be there? No. We'll see for sure. He did not want to be there. And he wasn't afraid of asking to get out if the opportunity arose. But understand that God can use you and bless you in the hardest of circumstances. And it could be that God is letting you be there for a reason. We're going to get into that a little more. But God promoted and blessed Joseph in prison. I want you to chew on that for a little bit. God knew he was there. God let him be there. God blessed him in there. Okay? It says here, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Sound familiar? It sound familiar at all? It sounds like Potiphar's house, right? Potiphar didn't know what he had except for what was on his plate that day. Okay, to eat. Whatever they did there, it was his doing, the Bible says, about Joseph in prison. Joseph was in charge of the entire prison as a prisoner. Just like he was in charge of Potiphar's entire house as a slave. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. That's how deeply he trusted Joseph, just like Potiphar did. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Let me read my points here, and the last one, we have some fill-ins here. Joseph continued to serve faithfully in prison. That is evident because the prison keeper saw and put him in charge of everything. And he counted him wholly trustworthy. Joseph was placed in charge of the entire prison. The Bible says that God was with Joseph and God made Joseph's efforts prosper. Do you think God can make your efforts prosper where you are at? The answer is absolutely yes. What's the problem then? Either if things are falling apart, either God wants them to fall apart or you're not walking with God. And I'm saying sometimes God lets you get sold into Egypt. Okay? So you can't say God isn't with me because I got sold into Egypt. God was with Joseph for the entire 20 years he was away from his family or apart from his family. Are you walking with God where you are at right now? Because this is the principle I want you to grab onto here. And to me, these just jump out. I'm going to write this out too. If God puts you there, God... Yeah, let's put it over here. So, if God puts you there, then God can use you there. Isn't that a good principle? If God puts you there, He can use you there. If He let you be where you are at, He can use you there. Are you letting God use you by walking with God where you are at? And Joseph shows us it can be done. It's not some... kind of like saying, well, I've reached perfection. And so there, you know, we're not talking about that. But you can walk with God now and you can be used of God wherever God puts you. It's not a failure on God's part. If He can't, it's a failure on your part. Now, maybe it's not a worldwide broadcast. Okay, worldwide impact. Somehow I'm getting feedback here, so I'm keeping walking away. I'm actually getting in front of Stephen because he was teasing me earlier about spitting while I... talked. Yeah, so we'll see. Need a towel yet? If God puts you there, God can use you there. Is that a good promise or what? It is absolutely a great promise. And you don't have to be the boss. You don't have to be rich. How much did Joseph have right now? Zero, maybe the clothes on his back, and probably not even that was considered his. Clothes were very pricey, you know, as far as they handed them down from one generation to the other. They weren't manufactured in China cheaply, okay? He didn't have anything. In fact, he was wrongly accused and put in prison after he was a slave for 6 years or whatever, okay? So, if God puts you there, God can use you there. So the issue is not God. The issue is your heart. What are you doing for God where you are at right now? Are you faithful to God where you are at right now? Because God puts you there for a reason. Maybe it's to learn. Maybe it's to change. Maybe it's to grow. Or maybe it's something massively huge that you have no idea, just like Joseph had no idea. He had no idea what was going on. He was just being faithful where he was at, and it was terrible situations as a slave and then as a prisoner. And what did he do? He walked with God where he was at. And guess what? God said, I can use that. How about being in charge of Potiphar's entire house? And then why not be in charge of the entire prison? Each one of those, by the way, is a position of influence and responsibility, right? And God said, I can use that. All right? If God puts you there, God will use you there. The issue is not God. The issue is you then. What is your attitude in the position God has placed you in, the circumstances God has allowed you to be in now? Maybe it's from poor choices. Well, guess what? God teaches us from poor choices. Someone said one time, how do you gain wisdom? By making good choices. Well, how do you make good choices? By getting good experience. How do you make good experience? By making bad choices. You know. There's things that happen that we sometimes will only learn because we made a bad choice. Maybe because we weren't listening or we weren't thinking or whatever. A lot of us have, probably all of us have been that way, right? We learn, we make poor choices and it's like, But all of those are beneficial to us and in God's program. And ultimately, it could be things bigger and farther than you can ever imagine. Okay? All right. If God puts you there, God will use you there. The next point here. Joseph is placed in charge of key prisoners. Now, I got kind of excited on this too, because I mean, when you're studying stuff that you've studied before for years and you grew up in Sunday school, hearing all the stories, right? I mean, it's good, and yeah, I can tell you a lot about Joseph. And you know, you try to read through your Bible every year and you make it through Genesis, you still cover Joseph, you know. But all of those different ways. But notice here, the people he's put in touch with here. Notice, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 there in the left side here. But it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker, notice I did not say the candlestick maker, okay, of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody. Now, there's a couple things here that just caught my eye. In the house of the captain of the guard, that's one, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. So the people, Pharaoh's chief what? Butler and baker. So we have a chief butler and a chief baker, right? The lead guys. I mean, these are the department heads. They're in charge of all the butlers, maybe, in charge of all the bakers or whatever, in charge of the kitchen. Now, this is the more intriguing part, but it still ties together with what we just said, the people. The place in the house of the captain of the guard. Now, listen, we talked about this when Potiphar threw him in prison. What would have likely have been the response of Potiphar had he thought Joseph was truly guilty of trying to commit adultery with his wife? Yes, death. There were other options as well, but he ended up in the prison. Look at the verse right underneath the word place there. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Is that random? Look at the next verse. It's chapter 39, verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him, that's Potiphar, after he was accused by Potiphar's wife, and put him into the prison, a place, and I underline this, and I had never really paid attention to this before. He put him in the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Let me say it this way. The king's prisoners are confined. Is that a setup or what? I mean, God is doing lots of things through Joseph's life all the way. Okay, and I'll maybe explain a little more later about the things he's learning and the responsibility he's having and the experience that he's getting. But God put him in a place where he would rub shoulders with people who rub shoulders with the king of Egypt. Are you following me there? So it isn't just God at the end all of a sudden said, hey, this will work. There's a famine now. Joseph could deliver his family or whatever, okay? But notice, Joseph's here, right? He obeys his dad. He's sold into Egypt to Potiphar. Not anybody else but Potiphar. Potiphar was who? Captain of the guard. He was a lead officer for Pharaoh, who protected Pharaoh. So he already is in a place of privilege, even though he's a slave. He's not working for some poor shoemaker, you know, in the middle of nowhere. God sees to it that he's working for Potiphar, and then he excels at that. He gets promoted at that. Then he's thrown into prison. But it's the king's prison, if you will. It's where, because I believe Potiphar put him here, right? Potiphar put him here, and it ends up being a high-end prison for high-end prisoners. And guess what you get to rub shoulders with? Who you get to rub shoulders with when you're in prison? This prison. The king's servants that get in trouble with the king. Okay? So it seems to be a prison that's still overseen by Potiphar, because it says it's in the house of the guard. In the house of the captain of the guard. House is in probably his realm, not necessarily his little bedroom. You know, we're talking about it's a prison within his scope of responsibility. And that happens to be where Joseph was confined. And that's where the chief butler and the chief baker. What makes the difference between a chief butler and chief baker with regard to Pharaoh? The chief butler and the chief baker are different than low-level baker, low-level butler. How?
Direct exposure to the Pharaoh.
Direct exposure to the Pharaoh. No doubt, just by accident. Wink, wink. Joseph doesn't have a clue. What is Joseph doing? He's serving God where he's at. That's all he can do. He has no idea. He's a slave from some guy that's a captain of the guard. He does really good, and then he gets falsely accused. He gets thrown into this prison. No choice. He does the best he can serving God where he's at. And all of a sudden, he's face to face with people that have been face to face with Pharaoh. So what, you know? Keep reading here. Verse 2, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief priest and butler. He put him in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph. I didn't even catch this till now. Who charged Joseph with them? Who is whom?
Potiphar.
So Potiphar still trusts Joseph. Yes? No. Okay? And he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Now, this is the next principle I want to scribble out here. God places you where He wants for a reason. And I might say it this way: God places you where He wants for a reason. Do we always know the reason? The answer is no, no, no. Sometimes we never understand fully. We do not fully understand the influence we had yesterday at Carnival. We have no idea. And we may have no idea till we get to heaven. Okay, some of it's like that. We know the end of the story, so we know, we can see this reason. Joseph has no clue yet. All he knows is he was sold. He got up high in Potiphar's household, managing everything, and he's falsely accused, and bang, down into prison. And all of a sudden, he's being put in charge of everybody there, just doing what I can where God puts me for a reason. But Joseph doesn't know the reason. This starts the beginning of God's plan. Okay? At least unfolding. God's plan starts unfolding. Even though all of it's part of God's plan, nothing up to this point in Joseph's mind would give him any indication of what's going on here. And I still don't know if he had a clue. Joseph's special prisoners dream dreams. So number 4 is dreams. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them, and he saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." All right, you got to catch this. This is huge, I think. I think you'll agree with me. Hang in here. So far, the scenario, there's one night, two people, two dreams. So far, so good. They each had two separate dreams. Now, here's a couple things that we can observe by Joseph here. Joseph, and this is amazing, and I hope you grab onto this. Joseph is aware of those assigned to him. I was going to put under his care, but I had to change it because of something else I'll say in a minute. Now listen to me. How many times or how easy is it that we get so caught up? Listen, we get so caught up in our own circumstances that we don't bother to see the circumstances of others. And Joseph is profoundly aware of other people. He's not pouting in the prison saying, "I've been treated wrongly." He speaks up when he has the opportunity, which we'll see shortly. But this just jumped out at me, that Joseph actually is aware enough that he sees other people's concerns. Okay, let me add to that now. He in verse 6, he came in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. I mean, how perceptive are we to other people around us? Or is it me, myself, and I are my three favorite people and we're fine by ourselves, thank you. And if I need something from you, I'll let you know. Isn't that easy to be? To be that proud and selfish and all of that, that I am my the center of my attention and that all of my attention goes there. Joseph had all of these things that are bad happening to him. He hasn't seen any of his family. He doesn't even know what's going on with his family. He's been a slave. Now he's in a prisoner. And he's aware of other people and what's going on in their lives. Why are you so sad today? He saw that they were sad. And then he asks. And I put this way. Joseph cares. He saw. He didn't mock them. He didn't kick them. He didn't lecture them. You know, "Well, you shouldn't have done stupid things in the first place. You wouldn't have been in here." Right? He could have done the whole soapbox thing and all of that. Instead, why are you so sad? He knew them well enough that he knew when their countenance changed and they looked different, they were sad. And he cared enough to ask them about what was wrong. Isn't that amazing? I think it is with regard to Joseph that he cares for other people that really he didn't have to care for. He could have just made sure they had their bread and water for the day, right? He went, if you will, not the extra mile. He just took the extra investment to care about the people he was around, even other prisoners. It just, these verses were like, no, another one. Wow, here it is. Here's the principle here. And this isn't hard. But God places you, and you might want to put ... you know, in the place that he has you. We've already kind of talked about that. If he puts you there, he can use you there. God places you where he wants you. So that's what we're still talking about in that very meaningful. God places you to care for others, not just yourself. You are where you have been put by God for a reason. And one of those reasons, whether you ever end up being Pharaoh's right-hand man or not, is to care for the people that are next to you. And Joseph exemplifies that. Well, it's been a bad day today. Well, really, talk to Joseph about bad days. Well, it's been a bad year for... Oh, yeah? Talk to Joseph about bad years, okay? And then get back to caring for people that are around you. Now, that doesn't make all of your concerns or problems evaporate, does it at all? It doesn't. Still in debt, still sick, still, you know, the car broke down, whatever the case might be. It doesn't change it, but it changes the way you approach life. It changes the way that all of a sudden my problems are just one of many things to focus on, and there's other things and other people that I can help, even though the car's broke down, even though, you know, the kids are sick, or even though things aren't going well at work. But guess what? The people at work are there for you to care about. The people at the store are there to care about. The people in your family are there in your family for you to care about. Okay? Keep going in number four there. God places you to care for others, not just yourself. This is a principle found in the New Testament more than once. All the one another passages, right? But I'm going to read this. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done. That seems pretty bold too. Nothing. Let nothing that you do, nothing that you do, be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That all it does is benefit me, but it doesn't help anybody else. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests. God does not say don't care about yourself. He just says don't only care about yourself. Not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Why are you so sad today? That's just profound to me. And it's a smack in the face, actually, for me. Because it's easy to get caught up in me, myself, and I, my three favorite people, right? Now, this is a deduction here, but I think it's reasonable to say this. Because Joseph is expressing spiritual life, spiritual health, spiritual maturity, okay? Selfish people don't talk this way, okay, is what I'm saying. So Joseph continues to walk with God in prison. So walk and God are the two words, okay? He's still walking with God. As all the things that have happened to him, the fetters, the chains that the Bible says in Psalm 105 that he wore, and it says later on in Genesis that he cried and begged not to be sold and all of that, and all the brokenheartedness, and all of a sudden, who knows what happened by the time he was sold to Potiphar, and then he's doing all this stuff, and slaves don't get days off, and all of this kind of thing. You know, all of this hardship, and then he's falsely accused after he's constantly tempted. And then he's thrown in prison unfairly, right? He's still walking with God. He's still walking with God. And let me throw this as another principle here. God uses your spiritual walk, your relationship with God, in His, and I put it this way in my notes, big picture. Again, please understand that Joseph did not know what was going to happen. He was walking with God today, where God put me today. That's Joseph. I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability today. Okay? He had no idea. I remember I've brought this up before, but the kids, Ethan was Joseph in this, we made this little film for the Potiphar's wife thing because we didn't want to act it out. So we turned it into a television interview, Campbell News Network and all that. Some of you might remember that. But the last scene was Elizabeth, my daughter Elizabeth, interviewing Ethan, Joseph, and his part was this. He says, who knows, maybe God will, you know, I can't defend myself. There's nothing that I can do. So I'm going to serve God where I'm at right now, where God placed me. And who knows, maybe God will use me in some small way here in the prison. That's how the thing ends. And I believe that was his attitude. That's all he knew. And I'm just going to, I serve God with Potiphar, get thrown in here. I'm going to serve God here. Who knows, maybe God will use me in some small way. Okay? But listen, God uses that type of spiritual walk in his big picture. You can grow bitter with God, you can get angry at God, or you can work with God and keep walking with God and serving God wherever he places you. And he will use you in ways that you will never dream of. And I'm not saying he'll make you the president of the United States. You might just help somebody that you would never have been able to help because you are aware enough of people around you and you made a difference in their life. Okay? So the key then is to walk with God wherever he places you. Because he uses the right attitude, the spiritual heart, if you will, the obedient heart, the submissive heart, in his big picture. Those are the people he uses. And yes, in prisons even, as slaves even. So it's nothing to do with, oh, he inherited a fortune. That's why he's so spiritual. Nothing. He walked with God where he was at, and God used that spiritual response in his big picture. Okay, we're going to cruise through this a little bit. Most of you probably have been exposed to this before. I'm still having feedback here, so I haven't done enough spitting on Stephen, apparently.
Is it possible you're back there getting low? Because that's what it sounds like.
Oh, I'm charged up. I don't know what I'm talking about. It did remind me to have some coffee, though. Even though I have no idea. So, okay. Number 5, the chief butler tells Joseph his dream. Okay? It goes like this. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, because Joseph asked and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were 3 branches, and it was though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. That was his dream. Okay. Joseph interprets the dream of the chief butler. By the way, 5 and 6 are the same. Butler again. He was told the dream, he interprets the dream. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. God had given him the ability, by the way, to do this. I don't think it's normal. I don't even think it goes on today. Now within the 3 branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. So that was good news. So, what does Joseph do? Now listen, it's not wrong to ask. Look at this, verse 14 and 15. And then Joseph keeps talking. Oh, you're going to go back to Pharaoh, face to face with Pharaoh, right? Remember the king's servants, face to face with Pharaoh? He goes, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Joseph liked being there? No. He even goes on to explain, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. You know, I haven't broken any laws or anything. Joseph asks the chief butler for a favor. So number 7 is favor. And I have 3 points underneath it. The first one, and I think it's reasonable to make these assessments here. It's not wrong to ask for, I call it freedom. And I put it in quotation marks because your freedom might be something else. It's not wrong to ask to get out of something that it was unfair for you to be in. Okay? Joseph's not a whiner. He's not a complainer. In the army, we called people that complained all the time a wah-wah. That was our technical term for it. If someone started complaining, the other guys would start going, wah-wah-wah-wah. You know, then it would stop, you know. It's not wrong to share about circumstances. Okay? You don't want to be someone that's constantly telling people about your bad circumstances. Because all that does is make it worse. It exacerbates it. You're just bringing them down. Let me tell you about all my bad circumstances. Oh yeah, you had, you know, this. Well, let me tell you, I had that and this, you know, or whatever. Say something encouraging. Care about them. Okay? There was an opportunity to make a change or potential change, and so Joseph spoke up. He had been around these guys long enough, and apparently they didn't know why he was there. There was no reason to tell him his sad story. Now there was. Okay? Last, it's not wrong to be honest about innocence. Though most prisoners, I guess, in prison claim to be innocent. I don't know. That's what I heard anyway. People who have worked in prisons, most of them say, you know, I shouldn't be here. And that's like, why? Because you got caught? You know, the thing. So, anyway. Number 8, the chief baker tells Joseph his dream. It's like, wow, that was good. Let me try this. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "So I also was in my dream, and there were 3 white baskets on my head." That already doesn't sound good, right? What do you do with 3 white baskets on your head? Anyway, to me it's funny. No one else is smiling. But in the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days." We got the 3 days in common. "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." So Joseph interprets the dream of the chief baker, right? No more comment here. You don't have to worry about bringing me up to Pharaoh, okay? He didn't complain to him, right? Now, number 10. "Now it came to pass on the 3rd day," both of them dreamed 3 days, right? "Which was Pharaoh's birthday, interestingly enough, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker." He lifted up the head, so he brought him before them. "Look up at me," okay? Not lift off his head. Okay, that's what eventually happened to the baker. "He lifted up their heads of both of them," you know, had brought before him, they had to look up kind of thing. It said he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So Joseph's interpretations, number 10, come true. Yay, Joseph! Things are looking good now for him.
For
Joseph, not the baker. But listen, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph. He was, you know, probably not arrogance. "Hey, I'm happy to be alive, happy to be here. I'm going to work twice as hard because I don't want to be in prison again. And I don't want to be like the baker, God rest his soul," right? The chief butler forgets about Joseph. How is that for circumstances? It's just like, okay, God, I'm just, maybe I'll just wait in anticipation because someone I know goes before the face of Pharaoh and I helped him. Oh, the phone didn't ring today. No email. It's been weeks. It's been months. It's been over a year, right? It doesn't say that here, but it was 2 years. A couple observations and then two principles that I'll throw out that are related. Our attempts at freedom, getting out of where we're at, will not always work. Okay? Just telling you the facts. God might just leave you in prison for the rest of your life. Prison as in your bad circumstances. Okay? Because he wants you where he puts you, and he's going to use you where you're at. That's not bad news. That's sometimes he doesn't. Not everyone became Pharaoh's right-hand man. You understand that, right? Just one guy. It's like trying out for pro basketball or something. And only very few people make it. And this is one guy. Failed promises. Listen to this. Failed promises, and you might think of failed promises of mankind or men, other people, are not failures to God. People let you down. People can sell you to Egypt. People can accuse you wrongfully and get you thrown into prison. But God is not like, oh no, you blew it for me. It's all over now. God never will say that about your life. People's failures to you do not constitute failures to God at all. Okay, here's principle. The first principle there. In number 11, God's timing is not limited. To our schedule. Okay? Hold on to that thought. Please, please, please remember, remember, remember that Joseph did not know, he did not know, he did not know the rest of the story. His heart may have been shattered again, his anticipation shattered again, his hope broken again when he didn't hear from up above, from the butler. Over time, it was just like the glimmer of hope goes out of his hope. But notice in your notes here, I have underneath there, thankfully. Let me ask you this. Can I speculate a little bit? And I think it's fair to do so here. What if the butler had spoken up? Then, what if Joseph had gotten out? Where would he have ended up?
The same situation.
Well, I'm guessing it would have been something. Well, let's put it this way. It wouldn't have been Pharaoh's right-hand man. He would have been working in the kitchen, working as a lowly butler. He would have been doing anything else, and that's what he would have done for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. He got out of prison. If that was his sole goal, there he was, serving, you know, making something for Pharaoh. But what did God do? He made him wait 2 years. Anyone here like waiting? I don't even like waiting in line. He made him wait 2 years. When it was perfect timing. And instead of him being some lowly butler's helper, he went from being the head of the prison to Pharaoh's right-hand man with no further waiting. Aren't you glad God's timing is not on our schedule? I am. Last principle here. And this probably summarizes the entire lesson. Trust God's timing. And purpose in your life. Okay? You don't know the whole story, just like Joseph didn't know the whole story. You don't know what God's doing in your life. You know that God loves you, and God will continue to grow you in His grace and knowledge as you walk with Him. He's put you where He wants you, so He can use you where you're at. He has you where you're at for a reason. One of those reasons is to care for other people. While you walk with Him, spiritually, it's your heart relationship with God wherever you're at, to do serve God wherever you're at. I think the great poet said it this way, bloom where you're planted. I don't know where that's found or whatever, but just because God doesn't do things according to your expectations, and all of us have had our schedule of expectations shattered many times, maybe. I certainly have. Doesn't mean that God thinks anything is broke at all. He's doing everything according to His time and His purpose for you. And you can take that to the bank. I've got six. I'm just going to tell you what they are. This is a summary of his life that we already kind of... Joseph obeys his father, gets sold as a slave. That's number one at the bottom there. He obeys his father, gets sold as a slave in Egypt. He honors God and gets put in charge of all of Potiphar's household. Charge. He resists temptation, gets thrown into prison. He honors God and gets put in charge of the prison. There's that word charge again. He honors God and interprets dreams of key people that go face to face with Pharaoh. And guess what? He interprets the dreams and he gets forgotten. That's where we leave him today. And he doesn't know what God's doing. He's just going to serve God where he's at. And that's where you find Joseph over and over again. Doing what he can for God where he's at. So anyway, I don't know about you, but this chapter was outstanding for my heart. And I trust it helps you as well. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you do. Thank you for Joseph's testimony of faithfulness in the midst of terrible circumstances and even broken hearts. And we just thank you that you do the same in our lives. Lord, you have a purpose where you placed us. Help us to trust in you and live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.